Thank you, Vic. Good morning. This morning, Pastor Don is bringing us a message from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is the word of God. You may be seated.
I hate to mess up the order of service, but we have a order of business that we've put off because we've had few people, and we have few people today because of the snow, and because there's a lot of sickness going through our church, so we need to pray for all the folks you don't see here, and ask that the Lord be pleased to bless them where they are, and to heal them if they are ill, and bring them back to our fellowship. But we've put this off, so we're going to do this, because the Constitution says we can take in members at any regularly scheduled service of the church, and that would be today. And so the deacons have met with Bud and Peggy Frazier and make a recommendation that we receive them as members. Do we have a second? Somebody wave your hand. Yes. Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. And so, brother and sister, you are members. And we are going to have, this is where we mess up the service, because at the end of the service, who is supposed to close in prayer? Oh, well, Alex, can you pray for them when we bring them up for, what we do is we're going to have a right hand of fellowship, which means the deacons come up and I shake their hand, welcome them, and then you come up and welcome them. But before we do that, we always have a prayer for them and for us. And so we're going to mess up your, I hope that doesn't mess you up too much. Alex is one of our deacons, so he can do this. We're doing a lot of stuff by the seat of our pants today. A lot of things have happened strangely. I want you to know that there's a real temptation. I used to do this quite a bit, saying, only the chickens are here, but it isn't true. Only the brave souls are here. So I'm glad you're here. Doesn't mean the people that aren't here aren't brave. They are, but they didn't come out today, and we understand why not. But we're going to have a great time together. And I trust that you'll go home praising the Lord for that. We are in the book of Romans, and we are talking about our salvation. We went through chapter 4, looking at the fact that, well, actually, you have to go back to chapter 3. We didn't actually preach on 3:21 through the beginning of 4, but in 3:21, you realize this is the where he makes the transition from all that sin. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men. And he talks about that. And then in chapter 2, he tells the Jews, you're just like the rest of them. You're in there too. You're not righteous. You're not saved. You can't save yourself. And he comes to chapter 3, and toward the end of chapter 3, after he's spent the better part of three chapters talking about that we're lost, then it's not like the sun breaks through, which we have not seen in several days, but we will eventually. The sun breaks through, and we suddenly realize all of this is God's plan, because he is going to make a way in which we who are so ungodly and so terrible and should be under the condemnation of God can be righteously related to him. And that's through the fact that God saves us. He imputes Christ's righteousness to us. And he talks about the fact in 3:21 and following that he has imputed, well, he talks about the fact that Christ became our propitiation. He became the satisfaction for our sin. And because of that, he has imputed righteousness to those who believe in him. He ought to made a statement in chapter 3 in that section that this righteousness of, by faith, apart from the works of the law, was seen in the Old Testament. And in chapter 4, he shows us, first, he shows us a couple things. Shows us what righteousness is. What the imputation of righteousness looks like in the life of Abraham and in David. But in doing that, he also shows us how it was in the Old Testament. David and Abraham, believe it or not, were saved just like we are. I did not hear that when I was a kid. I always heard the Old Testament saints are saved differently than the New Testament. We're all saved by faith. It is all by the work of God, not by anything that we have done. And that God has saved us, and that's the wonderful thing. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've been declared righteous. Now we come to chapter 5. At the end of chapter 4, he applied all this, talked about the described in detail the faith of Abraham. Then he describes us, that Christ came, was given for our sins, and that we have to have faith that he rose again from the dead, and that's how we are saved. Then he comes to chapter 5, and we've been in chapter 5 now, the third message. You notice we slowed down a little bit, because there's three benefits to us of our justification. We don't always think of these. First one is that we have shalom. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the shalom of God, the peace of God. Second, he tells us, we have access into the grace in which we stand. He says there, through whom also we have access by faith into the peace, into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In other words, we have the right to go directly into the presence of God with our needs, with our help, with the things that we need help for. We find mercy and we find grace to help in time of need. Then he talks about a third benefit. This one we don't always get crazy about, but this is just as much a benefit. And he talks to us tonight. Today we're going to talk about that benefit. And we're going to see it in three parts because those are the three elements of this statement. Perseverance, experience, and hope. So we start out. We didn't pray yet, did we? Let's stop a minute and pray. We get so involved, we forget where we're going. We got always time to stop and talk to the Lord about it. Father, we thank you for the tremendous privilege it's ours to have salvation in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the fact that we can have this grace in which we stand. We can have this peace with you. This is both objective peace, because no longer is there a war between a holy God and sinful people, we who belong to you. But also because we can have that peace in our lives. We can, when Satan rears his ugly head and wants to condemn us, that you are there to encourage us and help us to say that, Satan, you know, you can't accuse us because Christ died for us. Thank you for that. Pray that you would bless us in that. Pray that you'd bless us in using the access that we have to you, that we may be found always going into the very presence of God to get what we need. And because of the person of Jesus Christ, what he did for us. Now, Father, today, as we look at this third one, that you'd help us to understand again the wonder of the salvation we've got, that nothing is out of your control, that nothing can keep us from having your blessing in our life. Pray that you'd help us to understand this passage and help us most of all to apply it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start out with perseverance. And he says, this is the third one, you know, after he talks about, therefore being justified by grace, we have peace with God, through whom also, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, not only those two things, but a third one. But we also glory. The word glory can mean to rejoice. The word glory in this sense can mean to boast. We can boast in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. Romans 5:3. That's the first one. I have good news today. We're all going to go through trouble. We're all going to go through suffering. That doesn't sound like very good news. But that's what he's talking about. Not only that, when trouble comes, now the truth is, everyone goes through troubles. Heard one guy who said, you know, it's a three-point poem, you know, a poem for, or a sermon on suffering, on trials, problems. We have them, I have them, you have them, Adam had them. And here's the, you know, the poem is, that's the way of life. That's what life is all about. We all have trouble. And we're going to have trouble. The difference is, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't go through trouble alone. There's not a thing that comes into your life that hasn't come through God's mind, hasn't come through His screen. He chooses things according to His love. He uses those things to conform us to the image of His Son. But to think that somehow we avoid trouble is to think of something that the Bible says is not true. In fact, Paul kind of looks at this in a really weird way. We need to joy in our tribulations. That sounds almost like he's lost his sense. But think about this. Now let's talk about first, there's several places in the Bible where it talks about this. One of the most famous is in the book of James, chapter 1, starting with verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or various trials. That word is an interesting word. It means variegated. Many colored trials, many kinds of trials, very use of trials. You fall into all kinds of them. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We're going to talk about that word. This is the word I think everybody should know. Everybody knows agape because it's so popular. That's the love of God, agape. But you know, the one thing you need is hupomone. That's this word patience, endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. How do I know that? Because he says it in the book of Hebrews. You need hupomone. You know what we're going to get whether we like it or not? Hupomone. You know how you get hupomone? Trials, persecution, those kind of suffering. That's what happens. So, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith or testing of your faith produces patience, hupomone. But let hupomone have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so, trials are actually good things that happen to us. Blows our mind. I don't like suffering. I don't know if you do. Paul says we should recognize it's going to come. We should recognize that God is at work in those things, and we can rejoice in that suffering. Not because suffering's fun. He's not calling on us to become some kind of spiritual masochists. What he's asking us to do is to recognize when trial comes into our life, it comes by divine appointment. We're going to hit a verse later on. I put it here later on, but I tried to avoid it, but then I thought, I'm going to put this in. But here's where the proof text of this is, that trials all come by divine appointment to believers. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, after he's given us 5 and 6, I guess. 5 is where he talks about all the wonders that we have a reservation in heaven that's reserved for us if we know the Lord is Savior. And then he says, seeing that even though right now you're going through trials, if need be, that's the wonderful part, if it's necessary, you go through trials. No trial comes to you as a Christian that isn't necessary. The general idea is that God is allowing suffering into our lives because he's going to teach us something we can't learn any other way. So if we aren't to rejoice because we're some kind of spiritual masochist, why are we to rejoice? Well, then he tells us how we do deal with our trials. And he says in that verse, knowing because we know that tribulation produces perseverance. The word here is hupomone, which means, that's the Greek word, which means patience, steadfastness, perseverance, or stick-to-itiveness. I like to call it spiritual tenacity. The only way you learn that is through this process. So why in the world do we want hupomone? The short answer is because God wants us to develop it. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Now before I read this, I want to make one point. One thing I've heard ever since I was a little boy in church was, don't pray for patience. The patience they're talking about is hupomone, this spiritual steadfastness, perseverance, bearing up under, all those kind of things, spiritual tenacity. Well, you don't want to pray for that. Why not? Because if you did, the only way you get it is through trouble. So you're praying for trouble. I got news for you. Whether you pray for it or not, God's going to give it to you. You know, I know that. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of, and guess what that word is? Hupomone. You have need of endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. God works in us to make us what we ought to be. We don't always like what he's doing. It isn't something that you like, but you can rejoice in the fact when trouble comes that God is at work in that trouble. I'm reminded of a resolution. Jonathan Edwards, I've been reading those resolutions, so you hear this a lot, but he has a resolution. When affliction comes, I resolve to ask myself, what have I learned from this? What have I gained from this? And I would add, don't waste your afflictions. I heard somebody preach a sermon on that once. Don't waste your afflictions. The point is, when trouble comes, and it will come, I hate to tell you that, don't let it go by and say, well, that, you know, this just happened, I made it through. Well, you should make it through. with the Lord's help. But the first thing you got to do is learn whatever you need to learn. That's why God is doing it. He's building up hupomone in you. And the only way you can do that is through what I call spiritual therapy. The only way we can strengthen our patients is through spiritual exercises, spiritual therapy, suffering. Now, if you've ever had physical therapy, you know what PT really stands for. Steve Fernand, who's usually here, told me, PT stands for pain and torture. He should know he's a physical therapist. You know why it's pain and torture? Because you're building up muscles that haven't been worked. And that's why they're giving you all kinds of fits, because you haven't worked them lately. And so they aren't as strong as they ought to be. So you got to go and go through pain and torture to get them up where they ought to be. Well, I got news for you. All of us have spiritual needs. And our spiritual muscles aren't where they ought to be. And so God sends us suffering, which is spiritual therapy, to build up those spiritual muscles so that we can endure. So we are people of steadfastness, persecution. I'm preaching to the choir here because you guys are the ones that showed it today. I thought about when I'm doing this saying, you know, you can translate this a little different. Snowstorms worketh patience. It does. This kind of stuff is that kind of stuff. So God's working on you today, and he's working on me too. But this is an important thing. Second thing is experience. Rejoice in our tribulations because they're not fun. Tribulations means suffering. It hurts. What does it work? Well, it works hupomone. Who in the world wants that? Well, God says you have to have it, so you want it, right? You're going to learn from it. That's the thing. But what does hupomone produce? This is the word experience. I love this word because this is so many. It depends which translation you got, how they translate it. But let me just read in this. In persecution, character, and character, hope. That's verse 4. So you have the second thing, which is experience slash character. What is that word? It's a really neat word in the Greek language that I like to, I'll tell you the word just, I know you're not going to remember this, but I just like to say this word. It's dokimos. Only this is a feminine form. I don't know why it's a feminine form, but it's dokime. And dokime, dokimos, doesn't it sound like a fun word to say? Dokimos, dokime. Dokime means proven. Now, I have used this illustration 100 times, and you're probably sick of hearing it. But you remember the old Timex, you old people, older people, the Timex watch commercials way back when John Cameron Swayze did them? And they would do all manner of things. I remember they had a diver that they put the watch on. They dove into the water, and it comes up, and there's water all over the watch, and they do a close-up, and it's still ticking. And they do all this stuff. They did, I can't remember all the things they did. I remember the one time it failed. They had an elephant, and they put it on the elephant's foot, and he stood up on it, and it killed the watch. And then John Cameron Swayze turns to the camera and lies. Well, it worked in rehearsal. It didn't. All those things were dokimos, dokime. They were trials to prove that the Timex watch could stand up to anything except for an elephant standing on it. I don't care how many times he did it in rehearsal. It didn't work. He lied. But he lied to make a point. The point was that almost anything you put a Timex watch through, it'll survive. That was the idea. Now, that's a test. That's a dokim. That's when it came through the test, it was dokimos. It was dokim. It was proven by experience. It was proven by the test. That's why they do this thing. Well, there's experience or it's character. It's that which comes by proof of this test. So God sends you afflictions. You can rejoice not because you like to suffer, but you rejoice because it's going to produce something in you can't be produced any other way. And out of it, you're going to have this proven character, this proven experience. What did you learn in the process? Well, first thing you learn is you belong to Him. The Lord, one of the neat things when you go through trials is you really find the Lord is real. At least I hope you do. That should happen to you. If you know the Lord as Savior, you should find out in the middle of this how real God really is. I remember when we were church planting. And I remember when we had to pray virtually for everything. We did not have enough support. We felt very strongly the Lord, Kathy and I, prayed about it, decided the Lord wanted us to go out on faith. We did that. I have to tell you this truth. We did that when somebody promised us $100 a month support. on top of what we had. And we said, with that, we can just make it if nothing bad happens. So we stepped out in faith. You know what I just told you? It wasn't faith at all. We stepped out in sight as far as we could see it. The Lord said, I'm going to teach you about faith. That person never sent us a dime. So all of a sudden, there we are, and we're already $100 short a month. But you know, God has never, ever failed us. I want to say that because he never did. But I remember times when things came along and you had to pray, well, God, I have to spend this money. We saved up a little money for our income tax or for bills or something. And now we got, this thing has come along and we got a, you know, the car broke down. That's usually what it was, something like that. And we got to pay out this money. I don't know where it's coming from. But Lord, is this your will that we do this? And you pray like crazy and then God will bring it in. And he did every single time. I'm not kidding. He did it every single time. He never failed us. Never once. And I'm just amazed at that. I mean, just look at, back at that and you realize how real is God when he's doing things like that. It causes us to recognize that he is real. You recognize all the things he's done. All the things he continues to do. It also can be translated character, because trials produce experience, which produces character. It changes you. When you go through a trial, it changes you. Remember three guys in the Old Testament, shake the bed, make the bed, and the bed would go? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Those three guys, remember what happened to them? They were out, and Nebuchadnezzar made this huge golden idol. And when they heard the music, they were supposed to bow down and worship it, and they didn't do it. And then, of course, there had to be a snitch, and so somebody told Nebuchadnezzar, so he dragged them in, and he said, now I'm going to do this again. In my presence, you got to do this, because there's a fiery furnace, and I'm going to cook you if you don't. When you hear all the music, you fall down and worship me. And they said, no, Lord, no, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no fear answering you in this situation, because we believe our God is willing, is able to deliver us. Willing to deliver us, but if he doesn't, he's still God. And Nebuchadnezzar says, not for this spiritual garbage, throw him in the jail. And so they threw him in the furnace. When he looked in, the guys that threw him in, it was so hot, the guys that threw him in were killed. They threw those three in, and he looks in, and there's four people walking around, and the last one looks like the Son of God. That's what it says in Daniel. And so they call him out, and the three guys come out, and I dare tell you, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who went into the furnace is different from the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who came out. Same man, same men, but different. They had had an experience. They've seen God work. They've seen a miracle. They didn't even smell like smoke. Ropes burned off them, but nothing else. That is absolutely amazing. Now, I have a friend who always tells that story, and he talks about being the one. He says, you never ask God to tie you up and throw you in a fiery furnace. He's a preacher. He said, but boy, when you get done, you get out, you say, well, thanks, Lord, I needed that. He's saying exactly what I'm saying. You know, at some point, when you go through trials and you see God working in your life, it changes you like nothing else will. You're a different person on the other side of the trial. Trials produce spiritual muscles, and spiritual muscles produce experience and character. And the character, you can translate that character, proven character, dependable character. Character that is proven by the experience and dependable because God has made you that. Then he goes on, the last step is hope. Now hope does not disappoint. He talks about experience, hope, this certainty. What certain is that? Well, that certainty does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is given to us. I didn't do it in the notes, I don't think, but I want to point out the first part. Now, hope does not disappoint. Do you know the Bible says several times that those who trust in the Lord shall not be ashamed? You can translate that, those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed. They will not be dropped. God's going to carry through. Our problem is sometimes when we worship and we have faith in God and we trust God and we can't see the result is, well, what if God doesn't do what he said? And I would say, you know who's telling you that? Satan. God always does what he said. God is incapable of not doing what he said. He has to do what he said. God, who cannot lie, says this. Problem is, we usually come to that after he's proved himself faithful, and then we say, well, Lord, I was an idiot again. Believe me, I've had that conversation more times than I want to count it. But he never, ever, ever fails. Now, he may not do it the way we want. You know, Nebuchadnezzar and those three men again. Well, we believe God is able to deliver us, and he's willing, but if he doesn't, he's still God. You know, we think this is what God will do. We know he's able to do it. We think this is what God will do. But he may do it a different way. Does it make a difference? He's still God. So suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces experience and character. And finally, our character produces hope. Remember the hope here. Hope doesn't make a shame. Hope here is not hope, so hope. It amazed me reading through all these different things. Some people imply, though they don't ever say it, by the way they talk about it, well, this hope is like, I just hope it'll happen this way. That's not what he's saying. Hope in the New Testament is never, as I know, any place I know of, that it's hope, so hope. Looking for that blessed hope, so. No, looking for that blessed hope, that blessed certainty. The Lord's going to come. Looking for that. The hope is always certain. So here's our certainty. It's a certainty that won't make us ashamed. God's going to come through. Well, what does that hope look like? Well, that hope is that we know that God, he is, I am his and he is mine, as the song says. Verse 5 again. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is given to us. God pours out his love in our hearts. I suggest a discipline for your life that I found very helpful in mine, though I've not been always faithful to it. I keep working on it. I start and do it for a while, and I quit. Believe me, Jonathan Edwards had that same problem. I read his diary. Doesn't mean you... What happens, the way you get successful is you start out doing what you ought to do, and when you forget or when it gets... You stop for a while. Don't let that stop you entirely. Go back to it. That's what he did all the time. And that's what you find in people who consistently follow the Lord. But I would suggest two. I had five disciplines. Remember, I talked about them. The first one was count your blessings, name them one by one. I got that from my son-in-law. He did it with his kids. You know, you should have a blessing every day. Now, I'll tell you what. You start counting your blessings, and you find it's really hard to stop at one. I mean, I could stop at my wife every day. She's the biggest blessing in my life. But there are a lot of other blessings. You're a blessing to me. Pastor Adam's a blessing to me. Jeremiah's a blessing to me. You know, just pick a blessing for the day. Lord, I thank you for this blessing. I got up this morning and I can breathe. And I can eat. And I'm not throwing up. You know, some people don't have that blessing right now. Some people can't breathe right now. They're having problems with flu. You know, all those things. God's given you tons and tons and tons of blessings. Pick one. That's your present blessing. And I always do, you know, read your Bible every day. Tell your wife you love her. What was the fourth one? I don't remember. I have to look at my list again. Fifth one is this one. Remember something God did for you in the past. The point of that is kind of what we read in Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 8. Remember, you know, this idea of if be careful for nothing, but by everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Look at the first part of that. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, those are two things. Prayer is a general word for prayer. Supplication is your grocery list. This is what I need, Lord. Then he said, with thanksgiving. I used to preach that. Thanksgiving is when you, by faith, say, I know you're going to do this. I don't think so. You look up Thanksgiving in the Bible, and you're going to find it's about things that God already did. This has revolutionized my prayer life for my troubles. Because when I come to that point, I don't think, well, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I know he's going to do it. I'm not taking that down a bit. But the point is, think about what God has done for you. You know what our problem is? We don't keep This is going back to another sermon I preached, and some of you have never heard it, but I preached a sermon when we were in Joshua called What Means These Stones? Remember they took the 12 stones out of the middle Jordan River and they put them up on the bank, and then they took them to Gilgal and they made Rocks National Park, in effect. And the idea was, and he said this, when you get older, you know, and your kid's growing up, you take them back and you show them those rocks. And they're going to say, what means these stones? In other words, who put these dumb rocks here? And then you can tell them, oh, you know what those stand for? This is what God did for us, and that's where those rocks came from, right in the middle of the Jordan River when we crossed it on dry land. And that was so they would learn who their God was. Hence, the rocks are reminders of what God has done. You need a rock pile in your life, not a real one, but one that you visit in your head where you go around and say, I remember when God did this for me. I've shared some of those rocks in my life. I remember times when we were church plant. I remember when God bought my daughter's shoes. I remember when God made up for things that we spent money on, that we had to spend money on, but we didn't have money for it. God made it up. I remember one time when our support went down and our health insurance went up, and thought, there's no way in the world we're ever going to make it. How are we going to do this? And I had myself a major, and I'm ashamed to tell you this, I had a major meltdown, pity party. You know when you have a pity party, you know who the guest of honor is? You, because nobody else is going to pity you. You got to do it yourself. So I was having me a pity party down in my study, and I was just crying. I was telling God what a lousy deal it was and all the rest of that. And I got really convicted. Now, I don't know how to tell you this. I don't hear voices. But I was in the middle of this, and it's like the Lord saying, have I ever failed you? I said, no, Lord, you didn't. Never have. And what in the world are you doing? Being an idiot, Lord. That's what I told him. I was being an idiot. Because you see, you remember those things. God did those things. You can't forget them. Those are the things you look at and you think, you know, that was tougher than it is now. I like to read history. I like to read about people. One of the things I've just been reading is a biography of Martin Luther. I have read, I think, 11 of them. But in this biography, it was talking about, again, his time at Worms. You know, he went to Worms, a deity of Worms. And he had to answer for his books. And they said to him, do you recant? He went thinking he was going to be able to discuss this. He wasn't. Do you recant? And he said, no, I can't recant. My conscience has been taken control of by the word of God. And I cannot go against that. It's not safe to go against conscience. So here I stand. I can do no other. God help. It is an absolute miracle that he did not die. Now, I dare say to you, which I say to myself quite often, no matter how bad the troubles come into your life, it doesn't come close to that. I've never been in a case yet where I've had to do recant or been pressured to recant something I believed so I wouldn't die. And God took Martin Luther through that. He never did die a martyr's death. God took care of him. God can do that. And this is the same God you and I serve. If God can do that, he surely can do it for us. He can take us through. So tribulation works patience, experience. Experience hope. How do I know that? Because the love of God's poured out in my heart. How do I know that? Because I can look in my past at that rock pile and see all the times that God's love was poured out for me in a way I can see it. When I get to heaven, I'm going to find out there's another whole rock pile of ways God poured out his love for me that I never saw. Praise God, he did it. And he did it for you if you know Lord Jesus as Savior. That's the wonder of this. Now, how do we apply it? I do have an application. Oh, that was not right. I think I'd remember my application. Give me a second, I'll find it. It's inherent. Tribulation worketh patience even with computers. We know that through our trials and tribulations, oh, great. Let me put this back together and I won't be moving it around the wrong way. Through our trials and tribulations, we know that God is at work. That the Lord loves us because he has poured out his love for us in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives there, who is in us, was given to us. So number one, afflictions and troubles come to all believers. Anyone who tells you any different calls the Apostle Paul a liar. I don't think Apostle Paul's a liar. There are people who try to tell you that. Well, if you have enough faith, you know, blessing after blessing keeps on following you, you never have trouble. Should have told the people in the Bible, because they sure talked about trouble a lot, and they said it does come, so I don't think that's true. Afflictions come only if they are divinely appointed. This is so important. They are necessary. They have to happen. This is from 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice. That was what he said in 5, all those wonderful spiritual truths. Though now for a little while, if need be. That really is in the Greek. I was reading a newer translation and I kind of ran over the top that never really hit it. But that's in that verse. If necessary, there's not a trial that comes into your life if you're a child of God that didn't come because it was necessary. God said it was necessary. Believe me, he knows better than I do what's necessary, what's not. Affliction comes only if they are divinely appointed. We never go through trials alone. Man, I wish I could underline that, dance on it, jump on it, scream about it. That's the truth. The difference between us and anyone else is they have troubles, but it's not troubles necessarily to help them become better Christians, because they're not Christians at all. Sometimes they're troubles to bring them to Christ. But we who belong to the Lord, we never go through trials alone. Yea, though I walk, this is from Psalm 23, David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God has always gone with us through it, never leaves us alone. We can rejoice in our afflictions because they show us we are God's, and he uses them to make us spiritually stronger. Affliction produces perseverance. Perseverance produces patience, or produces experience and proven character, and all of that produces hope because God's love is in our heart. You know, when we talked last night, very quick and then we're done. We talked last night about the love of God and the devotion, a little bit of time we had after the story. God's love is self-sacrificing love. We know his love because he's told us about it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But we also know God's love because we've experienced it. And it does happen. If we pay attention to what God's doing in our life, we will find that he loved us. And what I find, I don't know if this is your experience, but sometimes when I'm at the low point and I need a little encouragement, you know what the Lord does to encourage me? Remind me about something he did in the past for me. You say, well, you know, he must love me because he did that for me. And he did that for me, and he did that. And you know what's really interesting is you start thinking about those things and you remember things you think you forgot. I haven't thought of for years that God has done. So it's a great experience. So what do we learn? Well, because we know the Lord is Savior, because we've been saved, we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We know that everything's settled before God, which is the most important thing in our salvation, our relationship with him. Second thing, we have access to God directly. We can stand in the grace that God has given us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go boldly into his presence anytime we have needs. Plus, we can rejoice. Now, don't go out here and scream, oh, hallelujah, I'm suffering. That's not what we're talking about. But we can rejoice when suffering comes into our life. Count it all joy. Why? Not because suffering is fun. It's not. Well, if you like suffering, you're sick. You need help. But suffering is something we all go through, and suffering is something in which God shows himself strong on our behalf. Suffering is something that God is going to cause us to triumph through. And in that suffering, we're going to learn things we can't learn any other way. And the greatest thing we learn is the love of God is poured out in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is given to us. We know he loves us because he brought us through the suffering. Or brought us out. Sometimes he brings us out. Most time it's through. And we come through. So that's what he's talking about here. So I thought it'd be really good at the end of this to sing about I am his and he is mine. We're going to sing this song and then we're going to have Bud and Peggy come forward. And we're we're going to welcome them into the fellowship of our church. So let's sing. I am his and he is mine. What was the number? 490. Let's stand together as we sing. 490.